you're in the 06010.
Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. My name is Daniel Dopp. This is the CSS DFS Podcast, the Week 12 edition. Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. And I am joined from home by my two good friends, Al Zeidenfeld and Michael Clay. I'm going to start with you, Al. Al, how are you doing out there in Southern California today?
Doing great. Getting ready to do the Thanksgiving meal tomorrow. We're brining the turkey today. We're obviously recording this before Thanksgiving, so a lot of things can change by the weekend, but we're going to do the best that we can on this podcast to get it out to you guys.
Absolutely. So as Al alluded to, we are now going to go to Mike when we're talking about getting the best podcast out to you guys. You're going to hear that we are home today. Normally, we'd be in the studio. We had some stuff that we had to unfortunately have on ESPN campuses, and so we had to move out of our normal studio. And then with everyone's holiday plans, it's just made it so much easier to have people be home with their families. And we're just going to record it this way. So this is a 1 week only thing, Mike. I want to make that clear. However, I'm still excited to have you from home, and I hope that we get to hear your daughter screaming in the background at least one time.
Yeah, well, they actually were not home until about 60 seconds ago. They came in the door. So
perfect timing.
It's very possible they will wander down here. We are not on video, so you won't be able to see it, but you may. You may hear some smashing and crashing and fighting upstairs, but we'll do our best. I'm looking forward to getting into the main slate. Obviously, we're a little short this week with some, you know, extra Thanksgiving games and the normal Sunday and Monday night primetime games, but there's a lot of value here. And, I think we're going to put together some good lineups here.
Absolutely. As you already alluded to, I'm sure you did this on purpose, looking for smash plays again this week, just like we did in weeks past. So I am ready for it. One thing I want to make sure that we know, and you guys feel free to jump in here whenever you want. The Thursday night game between the Steelers and the Ravens has been moved to the Sunday slate. As a part of that, the players from that game are now available as a part of the main slate. Okay, so there are only two Thanksgiving Day games. That third game did move over so that you can play them as a part of your DFS lineup. We'll get into a couple of names here. As we normally do, really quickly want to shout out Shug188 for winning our Week 11 CSS DFS tournament. Free to enter, $200 in weekly prizes, unlimited participants. Mike, you barely beat me this week by 1.42 fantasy points, and I am bitter about it.
Oh yeah. Well, hey, look, you've been complaining all offseason about asterisks, and I don't think I still won. You know, there's no asterisk here. It doesn't matter if I won by 100 or one, I still get the cash money. So it's a victory, and I'll take the 7-4 lead this season.
Yeah, you will. 7-4 lead is where you're at. Oh, I'm not happy about it. All right, we've wasted enough time off the top. Let's just get right into it. I know you guys have a busy holiday schedule ahead of you. So quarterbacks, Mike Clay, I'm going to start with you. Josh Allen taking on the Los Angeles Chargers, $7,600. I kind of want to ask on the back end of this, why you this game feels like a very stackable game to me. So why you like Josh Allen a little bit more than Justin Herbert, who's $400 cheaper, because I think both of them are very stackable. But I want to specifically start with Josh Allen and his rushing ability here at quarterback.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And it's funny, I debated, should I break down Allen or break down Herbert? And really, you can go either direction. It depends really how they fit into your cash lineup. Allen is 7,600. He's cheaper than Kyler Murray and Patrick Mahomes. And we know that he can produce at that level. We've seen it over and over this season, whereas Justin Herbert's 7,200. So he's $400 cheaper. Again, it just kind of depends on how you want to set up your cash lineup, what you have room for. And then in tournaments, obviously, you can get creative with both guys. But look, Allen, you know, he had that slump, right? He started off so well. He had the midseason slump. He's been back as of late. He is back-to-back top four fantasy weeks. He has 300-plus passing yards in five of his past 10 games. And he also gives you a bit of a high floor. You know you're going to get a lot of volume out of him. It's a very pass-heavy offense. He's eighth in pass attempts this season. He's also fourth in carries among quarterbacks. So, this week going up against the Chargers, he's at home. They're going to have to cross the country. It's a tough trip. And the Chargers have allowed the ninth fewest passing yards, but they've allowed 20 passing touchdowns. That's seventh most in the league. Also, three additional rushing touchdowns to quarterback. So I think it's a pretty good matchup. Again, they're at home, high volume offense. I think he's well worth it at 7,600.
Okay. Thank you, Dexter, for weighing in. Dexter agrees on that one.
Mark of approval. Nice.
That's right. Al, I'm going to move over to you because on the other side of that, we're going to talk about a lower price quarterback here. Derek Carr, $5,700, taking on the Atlanta Falcons. If you want to go a little bit cheaper at quarterback, tell me why you like Derek Carr as an option this week.
I mean, one, we can keep it as simple as possible. He's playing the Atlanta Falcons, who have gotten gashed by just about every quarterback that they have faced. They've given up the most quarterback points in the league on DraftKings to opposing quarterbacks at 26 points per game. He clearly doesn't need to score you 26 points in order to reach his value threshold. In fact, if he got to 24, that would more than 4X his salary, which is all that we need. He's also easy to stack with somebody like Darren Waller, who I'm sure we're going to get to later. Mm-hmm. And then there are plenty of bring back plays on the other side. So he's a great tournament option. You can use him in cash if you feel like it as well. I don't know that it's completely necessary. I've tended to lean more towards quarterbacks with rushing ability for cash game lineups because of the floor that that brings along and the possibility of a ceiling if they can get into the end zone. But great tournament play in Derek Carr.
Absolutely. You know, that's one of the things that I was thinking about earlier as you're talking about this, and kind of why I like the idea of Mike what talked about earlier, Josh Allen over Justin Herbert. Not that Justin Herbert doesn't also have a great game there, and I know we want to talk about him here too, but it's the idea that Josh Allen just has that little bit of an edge to me, that tiebreaker, mm-hmm. because he utilizes his legs in today's NFL. That's just so valuable. So, Mike, I want to quickly throw to you to be able to talk about Matt Ryan. Al, let's do this with you, right? Let's talk tournament plays here. So let's talk Matt Ryan, $5,900. I feel so confused with Matt Ryan because there are some weeks where he just looks great. That offense is in sync. Everybody's out there doing what they need to do. And then there's other weeks where he doesn't have Julio Jones and it feels like that offense just kind of falls apart. Mm-hmm. Is it really that simple as if Matt Ryan has Julio Jones, you start him, and if Matt Ryan doesn't have Julio Jones, you don't?
I mean, it definitely can. The thing with Matt Ryan is that, like, I'm not playing a quarterback in tournaments just so I can have exposure to that quarterback. I'm playing the quarterback because of all the rules that we talk about at the end when we're making lineups. I'm using the quarterback to get me exposure to different combinations of wide receivers. And as you mentioned, he has some very talented pass catchers on his team. So playing Matt Ryan allows me to stack or double stack with Julio, Ridley, Hurst, whomever else, and then we can bring it back with some of those guys on the other team. And there are talented options on the Raiders to bring it back with. If you're not having to tie it to his quarterback like Derek Carr, you can play Josh Jacobs against that Matt Ryan stack. You could play Waller against that Matt Ryan stack. So to me, Matt Ryan is a path to getting a higher correlated lineup with players from the Raiders.
Okay, love that. Thank you for breaking that down.
Yeah, and I'll chime in here too, because Ryan, I think, is really interesting. He actually shows up as maybe the best cash game value this week because of his price point. He's only the 12th highest priced quarterback on the slate, but the volume, I mean, look, the volume's been great. He's third in pass attempts this season and yardage, but he only has 15 passing touchdowns. It's really been the problem with him. You know, he's kind of slumping a little bit lately, under 19 fantasy points in six of his past eight games, but he does have 280 plus passing yards in four of his past five. So he's been in range for that 300 point bonus. And of course, he's facing the Raiders. You know, I mean, Matt Ryan's taken a ton of sacks over the past two seasons. Well, the Raiders only have 11 sacks all season. They're second lowest in the NFL in that department. They've also allowed 22 or more fantasy points in five of their past six, if we exclude that extremely windy Browns game. So I do think that Ryan is a very interesting stack option, and I think his recent slump is going to keep people kind of away from him this week.
Yeah, it's definitely something that you think about when you see Matt Ryan, when it's like you don't just feel confident throwing him in your lineup after a couple of duds in a row. But all of that is very, like, the reasoning behind that, but that both of you just explained, is really fantastic. So I appreciate you guys breaking that down for us. Sometimes I just feel like an idiot when it comes to tournament plays, where it's like, am I making the right decision? Is this the right thing? So
if you're not sure, it probably is, because there is that element of variance with it.
I like it. A couple of other quarterbacks that I want to talk about here really quickly. Patrick Mahomes and Justin Herbert. We mentioned their names earlier. They're both really high-priced quarterbacks, $8,000 and $7,200. Mike, do you think there's still good values to be able to return on that high price tag?
Yeah, we talked about Herbert in Buffalo. They're going to have to throw it a lot. Like we said, he'll scramble a little bit. He's been throwing for a ton of yardage and touchdowns, so he's fine. And Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. At any given point, he could put five touchdowns on the board. So not to mention they're playing the Buccaneers. We would expect this to be a very pass-heavy game for Kansas City. So even at AK, I think he's a good value. But yeah, it should be – I think you have plenty of options at the top, and there's some punt plays here as well, Daniel.
Yeah. if you just want to completely punt at the position, there's a couple of guys, obviously, as we've had news come in today and last night, a couple of guys, both Brandon Allen and Mike Glennon, both under $4,900. Do you think that given how these offenses could look on Sunday, that they're still worth giving a shot to in DFS?
You know what? Because they're so cheap, they seem like values, but the closer you look at these guys, the less likely you are to be interested. First with Allen for Cincinnati here. Now, obviously, he's a pretty good supporting gas, but he had a total of 33 fantasy points in three starts last season. I mean, that doesn't really get you too excited, obviously, and suggests there's a very low floor, so you don't love him in cash. And then Mike Glennon is where it gets really interesting. So I came across a pretty crazy nugget here I'm going to share with you guys. So I'll start off by saying this. He's never, never thrown for more than two touchdowns in a game. That's one. The last time he actually got to two passing touchdowns was in 2014. Guys, it's 2020. The last time he had two touchdowns in a game was 2014. He has 90 career rushing yards. So, and he's made plenty of starts. Only 90 career rushing yards. He's not going to help you there. And here's the craziest stat of all, okay? Mike Glennon has never, ever in his career, ever in a game, reached 20 fantasy points. Never at all. So even at his price point, a little under 5K, how good do you feel about him getting putting a big game on the board or even a decent game? It's pretty low. So again, I know the price point's low, and if he gets to 15, maybe it's good enough, but I would rather go with someone with at least a hint of upside that has done it maybe once in their career, had a good game. He's sure. Never done.
That's totally fair, Mike. And there's plenty of other, like we talked about earlier, there's plenty of other Matt Ryan and or Derek Carr, only a couple $100 more than both of those options. So you should find a way to be able to make that lineup work without having to completely punt. Let's talk about running backs though, Mike, because James Robinson, we've been talking about all season long in season long, fantasy about making sure that you find a trade partner for James Robinson with the trade deadline coming up today. It just passed actually. And this week, he's taking on the Cleveland Browns. And I know the Browns have a pretty tough run defense, but you still like him here at $6,300 this week.
Well, first of all, that's great that you just gave, we like to give actionable information on the show. You just gave non-actionable.
Okay. I am literally trying to babysit a dog from barking while I'm trying to do this. So it's like, if I sound distracted, it's just because I'm trying to keep him quiet. That's all.
Do you think people should draft James Robinson in 2020 drafts earlier this year? Should they?
Yes.
Think that's a good plan.
I think he's a good value, to be honest with you. Based on his current ADP, I think that you're going to get a lot.
I hate you guys.
A lot of profit there at his ADP.
I am so.
But anyway, on to actionable information. Yeah, look, I like Robinson this week in cash. He's 6,300. It's against Cleveland. He's a number three scoring running back, but he's eighth in this slate. And the slate only has 22 teams. Well, there's 24 now, of course, with Baltimore and Pittsburgh, but still two underpriced. He's third in rushing yards, seventh at running back in targets so far this season. He has 70 rushing yards in four straight games. And he's handled, this is crazy, he's handled 88% of their design rushing attempts this season. That is an enormous number for anyone, whether it's Christian McCaffrey or Ezekiel Elliott, and name a player, an 88% rate of the carries or percentage of the carries is huge. And he's also getting a little over four targets per game. So he has been a monster in terms of usage this season. I am worried about the schedule, as you mentioned, but this week he is too underpriced. And by the way, the Browns, good against running backs, but they allow 29 or more carries and at least 120 rushing yards to both the Steelers and the Raiders running backs recently. So we've seen a heavy volume against them and good fantasy performances. So I think you can take the discount and feel good about it here.
Is Myles Garrett going to be back this week?
I don't think so.
Out for two more, right?
Yeah, I think he's out for this one.
Okay, so without Myles Garrett last season in weeks 13 through 17, the Browns were pretty okay against the run last year for weeks 1 through 11. Week 12, they played Miami, who they beat, and Miami was not very good last year, didn't run the ball. But weeks 13 through 17, without Myles Garrett, 105 rushing yards against, 161, 143, 140, and 166. So this is a much better matchup without Myles Garrett for James Robinson than I think people are fully realizing.
Mm-hmm. I'm with you. I like it. Mm-hmm. Good call.
Love that. Okay. Al, let's pivot over to Dalvin Cook because it just feels like here's the play. You start Dalvin Cook and you get a bunch of points.
Yeah.
So Is there anything else you want to add?
And then you let everyone else figure it out, right?
Okay, like, all right.
I'll take my 25 to 30 points and I'll let you figure out what other running back you want to play. Like, that's kind of where you should start. I remember a few years ago, we were playing daily fantasy basketball, and I was actually in Vegas for like a live final, and Peter Jennings and I were talking about something, and he said, are you still going to play Kevin Durant tonight? This is when Durant was on that ridiculous streak in like a January or February, where he was averaging like 80 fantasy points tonight. I said, is Oklahoma City playing? He said, yeah. I said, okay, is Kevin Durant hurt? He said, no. I said, yeah, I'm going to play Kevin Durant. You figure out where you're going to get those 80 points from if you're going to fade him. It's like, I don't care what they push Dalvin Cook's price to. Obviously, there is a point where it's going to get restrictive. But at 9,500, we're not anywhere close to that, especially with the value that we have on this slate. You can fit him in your lineup because of the value wide receivers that we're going to get to in a little bit that Mike's going to tip you guys off on that are sub 4K. You can fit James Robinson and you can fit Dalvin Cook. If you're playing head-to-heads, I think that that's where you start, and then you kind of figure out the rest of the lineup because it's very easy to get there. We can talk about how good he's been. We can talk about how bad Carolina's been and how many touchdowns that they've allowed. Yes, it's a fantastic matchup. He's seen ridiculous volume. We know that he's got a ridiculous floor of like his worst game of the season since they started feeding him a ton was like 16 points a few weeks ago. If that's your floor and your workable ceiling is 30 to 45 points, you're right. Yeah, I'm going to take Dalvin Cook. I'm going to let you figure out where you're going to get those 30 points from.
Love that. Love that. If you want to go on the other side of that, Al, because obviously Dalvin Cook, $9,500. Let's talk about quickly cheaper running back. Maybe it doesn't inspire as much confidence, but Todd Gurley, $5,500, taking on the Raiders. There is a path to him being able to have a really nice game this week against the Raiders.
Yeah, he's been better. He's got some serious home road splits. They call plays differently when they're playing at home than they do when they're on the road. We've seen Gurley do well, and the Raiders have been another team that's bled points to opposing running backs. At 5,500, if you need value, there's a few guys at running back between 5K and 6K. And Gurley, I think, is one of them. But he's one of those that you kind of turn your nose up to a little bit because he's not the Todd Gurley that he was in years past. But he is getting a lot of usage inside the five-yard line. There is still touchdown upside here. I'd probably prefer him for tournaments because he's got a lower floor than some of these other gentlemen from, let's say, 5K to 6,100 now have with Austin Eckler coming back. But I do think that he's in play and he's going to be somebody you can easily leverage the field on. If they're going to play 5 to 10% of him, you can have 15 to 20% if you're going to play 10 or 20 lineups and outpace the field that way with what is a good touchdown upside play.
Okay. Mike, let's talk about a couple of other running backs we want to mention here. Kenyon Drake, Wayne Gallman, Kareem Hunt. Is there one of these three that you like a little bit more than the rest? Because I think they all feel like they could fit based their price point this week.
Yeah, I think these are all great values. And, you know, Dalvin Cook fits in this list. So does Todd Gurley. So that's I agree for sure with Al. You know, I think Gallman is interesting. 13 plus touches and 5 touchdowns over his past 4 games. And then you have Drake, who, look, he's not a popular guy. He's kind of boring because the targets haven't been there, but he did see a season high 5 targets last week. He's averaging a little over 16 carries a game. He has 4 touchdowns in his past 4 games. Remember, this is a very high scoring Cardinals offense. So, you know, I think he's trending up and I feel better about him. So I like him at his price point.
Heck yeah. I love that. All right, let's talk about some wide receivers here. And
wait, hold on. What? You're skipping stuff here.
What am I skipping?
Then. We got to do some if then.
Oh, I totally forgot about the game. If then. You're right. That is on me. Totally my fault. I was under the wide receivers already. All right.
Yeah,
so
you're jumping the gun. So, yeah, and this could be quick, right? So, we just want to talk about two backfields right here with injury implications, right? So, Miles Gaskin is still on IR. He has a chance to be activated this week. He's 5,700. Savon Ahmed is 5,100. They're playing the Jets, right? So this is an interesting situation. The Jets are a team you can generate a ton of points. Again, we want the running back from this group, but both of these guys are hurt right now. We don't know if Gaskin's going to play. We don't know if Ahmed's going to play. So we're going to keep a close eye on this, see who's active. It could be either or. It could be both. If it's both, I don't like either one. If it's one, I like the other guy a ton. And then the other one, of course, is the Chargers. Austin Eckler's back in practice, and he could be activated this week. He's 6,100. That's going to be a value if he plays. But if he's out, Kalen Ballage, my arch nemesis, is 5,800 here, and he is too cheap at that price point. He's had 15-plus carries in 3 straight weeks. He has 15 targets over his past 2 games. He's been a top 16 fantasy running back each of the past 3 weeks. And, guys, that's with horrible efficiency. His efficiency is still atrocious, but the volume has been massive. So the fantasy points have been there again in an offense that has scored points. So again, you have to monitor these down to game time, but you know, kind of pick your poison from this group. There's going to be a value, I'm sure, that emerges.
So I want to ask this quick question, because with that price point on Austin Eckler, it is so low for a player of his caliber that if you want to do a stack with that game, how do you fit him in with any of the other Chargers assets? I mean, can you play him with Justin Herbert? Do you play him with the wide receivers? Do you play him with Hunter Henry? How is it that from a strategy standpoint, because it could be really easy to just put too many guys on the same team with Eckler's price at 6,100.
So,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. I'll start off. I mean, first of all, you have to consider he may be limited. And almost it might be more worthwhile to use him if there's a report that he will be limited, because in a tournament setting, you can get an edge if he catches, you know, if he's targeted eight times and he's not limited. So we're gonna have to keep an eye on those reports right down to game time. But he is one of the few running backs, and Al, I think you'll agree, one of the few that you can consider using in a stack with a quarterback. So if you have Herbert, Eckler, and say a Keenan Allen, you could pull that off, and you almost never want to do it with a running back. But you know, again, you want to differentiate and get an edge in a tournament and actually win the tournament, I think that's something you can consider. But again, we have to be careful here, because even if he goes, he may be limited.
Yeah, so what you were alluding to is quarterbacks don't really correlate with their running backs, right? They're fighting for touchdowns. But that includes every running back quarterback combination of all time, or at least for the length of the correlation matrix, right? It was since like 2000 or something like that. So there are certainly some running backs that break that, guys like Alvin Kamara, Le'Veon Bell in his prime, David Johnson, and somebody like Austin Eckler, who should see what, in terms of market share of targets on his team, typically around the 16 to 19% range on a game-to-game basis. So that's fine. We're correlating wide receivers with that sort of usage. So I'm fine correlating specific running backs with their quarterbacks, and Austin Eckler is one of them if he is unburdened by a snap count or a pitch count here.
Heck yeah. His price point just seems a little too low for me, which I love. Right. But let's move ahead to some wide receivers now, finally, that also feel too low. And we've heard Al talk about this all year long. It is the Monday night trap of two wide receivers just absolutely going off on Monday Night Football in Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods, and they are priced too low this week. Cooper Kupp is $6,400. $6,400! What?
It's cheaper than he was last week. And the week before, his price came down.
And his right. And Robert Woods is $5,800. Mike, talk to me about both of these guys, because man.
Well, I think there's two reasons they're cheap. It's the Monday Night Football discount, as you talked about, right? Sure. You play Monday night, the pricing was already out. Maybe three reasons, because they've also been boom bust, as I'll get to in a second. But also, they're playing the 49ers. Now, here's the thing. The 49ers have been kind of up and down against wide receivers this season. I think if you adjust for opportunity, they've actually been on the poor side of the league. They have allowed 55 or more fantasy points to the Packers and the Seahawks since week eight. But both of these guys have not had great lines or great usage against the 49ers over the past couple of years. In fact, these teams played in week six. Woods scored a touchdown, had 10 targets, but his yardage total was low. Cooper Kupp had one of his worst games of the season, so that probably helps. But at the same time, we're coming off a huge game from Cooper Kupp, 13 targets, 145 yards against Tampa Bay. He's, like I said, he's kind of been boom bust. So it almost makes you feel more comfortable in a tournament, because he's had nine or more catches or 100 yards in three games, but he's been under 51 yards with zero touchdowns in four other games this season. So he is averaging a career high in targets, believe it or not, a little over 90 games. So you like all those things. And then Robert Woods, same kind of thing. He's 10th at wide receiver in fantasy points, but he has six top 26 weeks and four finishes of 42nd or worse this season. Now he is trending up after he kind of hit a little bit of a slump. His targets were down there for a little bit, but he does have 28 or more fantasy points in two of his past three this season. He's getting 7.5 targets per game. He's getting almost two carries a game. He's scoring touchdowns, five in his past six games. So I feel good about them at the price points. I think that's really important. And again, this is a competitive divisional game. They're going to have to throw the football. And that really is another part of it too, because they were very run heavy to open the season. They've been on the pass first side of the league ever since. So I think they're underpriced, but I wouldn't want them both in my lineup at the same time, because, you know, again, they've kind of had their struggles against the 49ers and they've been boom bust this season.
So that's the hard part. Again, another one of those situations where it could feel like maybe I put both of them in there based on their price point. But I think I'm with you. Not having both of them seems like a better option. Al, I want to talk about Stephon Diggs here because I like his price. He's a little bit pricey for me. But a lot of this seems to determine on whether or not John Brown is going to play or not play in this offense. But talk to me about whether or not you like Stephon Diggs, regardless of if John Brown is there.
Okay, so three of the last four games that Steph Diggs has played, that the Bills have played, he has had double-digit targets. The one game that he did not, he had nine. So okay. His volume is secure whether John Brown is there or not. He is also one of the league's best deep threats. The Chargers are allowing the fifth most yards per deep completion with 29.1. So we have big splash ability as well. It worked into that. So great floor with a possibility of a one-shot ceiling type game. He gets one catch for 65 yards and a touchdown. All of a sudden, he's just a ridiculous smash play. So it's not even a boom-bust thing. It's a high floor, high ceiling combo play here with or without Brown. Without Brown, we might just get more bites at the apple, though, on those deep tosses because him and Brown see the most of the deep throws from John or from Allen, Josh sure. Allen.
Totally makes sense to me. A couple other wide receivers that we really like this week, Devontae Parker, still under $6,000. That just seems too low. Devontae Parker should be a really good matchup this week against the New York Jets. Julio Jones, $6,500. Obviously, that's a game to monitor, and specifically with Julio, as to whether or not he's going to play this week. So definitely check your lineup before Sunday when that happens. Curtis Samuel, $5,100. Man, $5,100. Mike, I want to ask you this question, because $5,100 for a guy who is wide receiver six since like week seven, but it doesn't feel like there's a ton of volume. It feels like everything's just sort of going right for Curtis Samuel at the right time. I mean, is that part of why this price point is so low? Because it's not so much about the volume, but just about the efficiency of the touches that he's had?
Man, I don't know. I don't have an answer for you why the price is this low. There's a reason he's a great value, right?
It's just
too low. So it should definitely be up closer to Robbie Anderson and DJ Moore, because that's where he's been producing over the past month plus, and the usage has aligned. So he had a slow start, and maybe that's part of it, even a slow start to his career, but the production has been there. And I'm with you, a couple long touchdowns, that's fine. But the volume simply that he has seen in that 20% target share range, not to mention about 12% of the carries this season, which can't be ignored. You add all that up, and not to mention that Christian McCaffrey not expected to play this week, and Samuel should be good to go. Also a great matchup against Minnesota. They've obviously struggled against wide receivers this season.
A couple other wide receivers here. Keenan Allen. It seems like you can't not find a way to get Keenan Allen into your lineup. DJ Chark, although that one's a little bit more iffy for me, it definitely feels like more of a dart throw given the quarterback position that we have, unfortunately, Mike Glennon under center. But Mike, there's a couple other guys that we want to talk about as far as punts. I'm going to throw it to you first because Al's got a couple of punts at wide receiver that we like too. So give me a couple names here. If you want to punt at the wide receiver, if you've come down to the end of your lineup, you're trying to find someone to be able to fit in here. Who are some of your guys you like under that $4,000 price point?
Yeah, well, we'll start. And this kind of goes for Devontae Parker, who you mentioned earlier, who's a great value. But Jakeem Grant, both of the perimeter wide receivers for Miami, they're playing the Jets. I mean, look, the Jets right now at corner are down their number one and number two starters. They cut one, Pierre Desir, because he struggled so badly. They put Bless Austin on IR. He was essentially their number one. And Brian Poole, their slot, who's actually their best corner, he's on IR. So they're down to Bryce Hall, who's a fifth-round rookie. They're down to Lamar Jackson, the other Lamar Jackson, an undrafted free agent signing this year, and Art Mollett, who's a journeyman slot corner. That's who they're starting right now. I mean, it's a mess, and we saw that on display last week with Justin Herbert. What was he like, 19 of his first 20 in that game? You know, he was toasting them. He had like 300 yards in the first half. It was unreal. So this week you have Jakeem Grant, who's an every down player now. He has 5+ targets in 3 straight games with Preston Williams out. He's 3,700. You have KJ Hamler, who has a 20% target share or higher in 3 straight games. In fact, he's 9th at wide receiver in targets over the past 3 weeks. So the volume's been good. He's only 3,500. And then how about this? Laviska Shenault, he got hurt, and as a result, they have just plummeted his price down to 3,300. This is a guy who is averaging 10.4 fantasy points per game during his 7 healthy games, despite scoring 0 touchdowns. He was still hitting that mark, and he's 3,300. So he should be able to pay this off if he's back this week. Now, he may not play, and he'll be useless, obviously. But if he plays, he is basically at the minimum and a guy you want to consider.
Okay. Al, give me a couple names here. I know you've got a few too that you want to get through. Specifically, I'm excited to find out, is there another Bills wide receiver that we could play if John Brown isn't out to go with that, you know, potentially Stephon Diggs stack?
Yeah, if there's a Brown out in Buffalo, then obviously we're going to go with Gabriel Davis, who sees a massive uptick in terms of snap percentage and routes run when Brown is off the field. So if Brown is out, then Gabriel Davis is in, and he's the stone minimum at 3,000 on DraftKings. So major chance for profit on his salary without much caution about the floor. Like if he has 6 points, you're missing his value threshold by like 3 points. So there's not much risk with Gabriel Davis if Brown is not in. Another player who has done exceptionally well with the opportunities that he's had so far, playing only 4 games, the rookie Denzel Mims for the Jets at 3,500. He is tied for third in the league in terms of weighted opportunity rating, which is one of the more predictive stats when it comes to wide receivers. And you look at the guys that are around him in Whopper, it's Davante Adams leads the league, Michael Thomas, then Adam Thielen. He is tied with Adam Thielen, then McLaurin, Diggs, Hopkins. It's basically a who's who. And then here's this rookie at 3,500. I know that Mike has got some stuff that he's a little concerned with Denzel Mims, but I really like this chance here. Obviously, the Jets are going to be trailing in most games, so they're going to have to throw. That means increased opportunities for Mims, big body, touchdown upside, which he has not scored yet.
Yeah, and the only thing I would add there is, do they make a quarterback change, right? Is Sam Darnold back? Does he play? You mentioned Mims, you know, 7+ targets in 3 of his past 4 games, but his targets with Sam Darnold in those 2 games are 7 and 4. His targets with Joe Flacco, 8 and 8. So will he get that sort of volume if Darnold plays in this game? Maybe, but at the same time, Jamison Crowder has been almost a zero the past 2 weeks, right? He has like, I think it's 7 total targets. He hasn't been used. Does that change, especially if Sam Darnold's back? And as a result, does Mims see 5 targets instead of the 8+ you know, that we've seen the past couple of weeks? So that's what I'm keeping an eye on. I'll feel better about him if Flacco goes. But again, even if Flacco plays, I think they have to find a way to get Crowder the ball more. And perhaps that costs targets for the perimeter receivers. But again, he's so cheap that he's a perfectly fine guy to punt in your cash lineup.
If you want to talk about punting, I don't want to say that that's a Cincinnati Bengals joke, because they'll probably do a lot of it, unfortunately, on Sunday. But there are a lot of guys, you know, Tyler Boyd, only $5,000 now. T. Higgins, only $4,700 now. A.J. Green, $3,600. Are you just punting on the Bengals wide receivers as a whole, regardless of how cheap their prices are, because their quarterback position is just so up in the air right now, you have no idea what you're going to get? Michael,
yeah, I think that's the question, right? Do you take the discount because you have guys who have been reliable in fantasy? I mean, Boyd's been money, and his price has plummeted down to 5K, as you mentioned. Even T. Higgins has been so good as of late, down under 5K. I mean, it's tough. I mean, they're baiting you into it. None of them are top 30 in terms of pricing this week. And you know, I kind of look back to last week. So Brandon Allen's going to start for this team this week, and he made a handful of starts last year with the Broncos. And I'll tell you what, it actually made me feel a little bit better here. Why? Because he got the ball to his star players, a 32% target share for Courtland Sutton, a 24% target share for Noah Fant, 18% went to the running backs. That's actually a little bit below average. And even Tim Patrick was at 13%. He was operating as the other top 2 wide receiver for that team at the time. So, you know, this tells me maybe he will come out and force feed the ball to Boyd and Higgins. And if so, they could pay off at these prices. So there's risk for sure this week, major risk. You know, they're facing the Giants. They allow a ton of yardage to wide receivers, but only 9 touchdowns this season, something to keep in mind. But I think you can mix and match and consider these guys probably more in a tournament setting. I don't feel great about them in cash, but if you slide one in as a, like a AJ Green as a 3,600K, scored his first touchdown of the season last week, I don't have a major, major issue with that.
Al, how confident do you feel throwing any of these guys into a tournament lineup?
Okay, so they're not going to be heavily played. I like what Mike just said about how he zeroes in on his kind of best players. Like, I like to see that from quarterbacks that aren't game-changing quarterbacks. I just say, okay, I have to get the ball in the hands of the guys that can make plays, because I'm not the guy that's going to make plays, so let's get it to them. However, at the price point that they're at, you look at where your other players would be. Tyler Boyd is 5,000. So you've got Jerry Jeudy and Curtis Samuel at 5,100. You've got Corey Davis at 49. Darius Slayton against Cincinnati on the other side is 4,900. So like at that same price point, the pivots to them probably grayed out a lot better this week. So it's going to be interesting to see. Higgins is probably my favorite of the bunch, just because I think that he's quite talented. I like the kids, the way that he plays and what he's done every time he's touched the ball. But like, it's going to be tough. They're not going to be players that are played a lot in tournaments. So it's not going to be difficult. If you want to take a stand and plant a flag on a player that you think is going to outperform what the crowd thinks their quarterback can do, this might be the place.
I think I agree with you there on Higgins too. The kid just got, kids got
the juice.
And I don't know, everyone says the word moxie, and I don't think any of us actually know what it means. It's just like a buzzword that we all want to say when it's something positive about a player, unless you guys know what the word moxie means. Nope.
I don't know, see? But I think the opposite applies to Tyler Boyd, right? Like he's the boring guy that no one wants to talk about, and he's developed into one of, I think, the most underrated players in the league. And he's only 300 more than T. Higgins. So I like him. I'll take the Boyd side of this one.
Oh, all right. Is like all a right. Secondary bet? Is that what we're doing? Are we doing like
a sushi bet?
Right?
Are we doing a sushi bet here?
I will do a side sushi bet. I'll take T. Higgins for more points this week than Tyler Boyd. But there's a price discount. Yeah. How about I get a? Do we get it based on the price, or is it just straight up?
You just said, okay. So you said you like the value more or the player more? I don't know.
I like the value.
I feel like you should not get an edge because you disrespected Tyler Boyd, but I will give you what's that? What does that cost, Al? Like a third of a point?
So why don't we just do it on points per dollar? Whoever has more points per dollar.
There you go.
There's your winner.
That's why we have Al on this podcast. That's what it is.
Done.
All right, let's talk about a couple of tight ends real quick, and then we'll wrap this up and give everybody off to their family holiday traditions. Mike, Travis Kelce, $7,000 taken on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You know, $7,000 for Travis Kelce still just feels too cheap to me. Yeah,
he's Travis Kelce, end of analysis, right? Like,
yeah.
Do I need to say more? I mean,
no.
I will say more. I will say more because I did the research, so let's do it.
You're not going to waste my time. I'm going to say my Travis Kelce stats.
I'm going to waste your time, not my time. I already did it, so I'm going to read it off now. This will give you context and explain to you why it's worth spending up on Kelce, because 7K for a tight end, you know, can be construed as a lot. But think about this. So I have three tight ends projected for 11 or more fantasy points in this slate this week, okay? Kelce, I have projected for 20.4. So think about that. Only three are 11 plus. He's at 20, almost double most of the field. That's why he's worth this price point. He has been unbelievably good again this season. 10 or more targets and 118 plus air yards in his past three games, 22 plus fantasy points in 6 of 10 games and 5 of his past 6. And, you know, the matchup, the Bucs are okay against tight ends, right? Darren Waller, Evan Ingram, Jared Cook all had pretty good games against them, or very good games against them as of late. So it's nothing that you should be scared of, even though the Bucs defense is pretty good overall. So he's well worth this price point.
Okay. Al, another tight end that we think is well worth their price point, Darren Waller, $6,000 taking on the Atlanta Falcons. It feels like a lot of the stuff that Mike said about how it's just Darren Waller. Just put him in your lineup.
Yeah. He's like diet Travis Kelce at this point. It's great. Like, it's a great matchup too. Atlanta's allowing opponents to complete 83.8% of their tight end targets this season. Daniel, did you know that that's the highest rate in the league, and we haven't had a team allow anything higher than 80% over the last 15 seasons?
Like,
Atlanta against tight ends is historically bad, and considering the way that Darren Waller runs routes, which is like in the 10 yards closer to the line of scrimmage, he's got a really low A dot, very highly convertible targets into catches, especially when Henry Ruggs is on the field to stretch the safeties out a little bit. He gets more room to operate and roam. And Atlanta's allowed the second most tight end receiving yards this year at 62 a game. So great floor, 1,000 less than Kelce. I do love Kelce this week. I think that you can afford to pay up for the premium stuff at running back. You can afford to pay up for the premium tight ends as well. There's just enough value on this slate, especially now that we add the Pittsburgh receivers to it as well. Like, there's a lot of ways that you can do things this week, and paying for the stud players and going stars and scrubs is on the table.
Okay. A couple of the tight ends here that we want to mention real quick. Austin Hooper, only $3,800 taking on Jacksonville. Austin Hooper's usage these past couple of weeks has been great, especially at that price point. Mike, is there anything you just quickly you want to add on Austin Hooper? Because I really like him, and he seems like another one of those unsexy names. It's like, maybe you just don't feel great about putting him in your lineup, but you don't need to feel bad about it at all.
Well, the only problem I have with him, Daniel, is that he's not Travis Kelce, right? So okay. That's really it. Otherwise, he's fine. I mean, if you want to save $3,200 to go from Kelce to Hooper, you know, go down from Kelce to Hooper. I think you can justify that. He's had a pretty generous target share around 20% in this Browns offense. But at the same time, if Cleveland comes out running the ball like they usually do and they build a double digit lead, they're just not going to be throwing the ball much. So don't love him, but I think he's just one of your better high floor options in cash games.
And Hunter Henry kind of feels like that same way, just in what we expect to be a high shootout game between Josh Allen and Justin Herbert, only $4,800 taken on Buffalo. So another tight end there to consider. All right. First off, thank you to everybody who stuck with us this long. There have been a lot of distractions in my house. I apologize for all of that, but we have made it through to the part where we get to our lineups. Mike, because you won last week, I will allow you to go first. Why don't you give us your week 12 head-to-head lineup?
Sure. And I'll tell you what, it's tempting to basically go punts across the board with wide receiver, because you can get guys like Allen and Kelce, a quarterback and tight end, and then go Robinson, Cook, and Ahmed, say at running back and flex, and then go Samuel, Grant, and Hamler at wide receiver. You can do that. Like, you can punt wide receiver and just load up everywhere else. I think that's a viable strategy this week, but I kind of spread it out a little bit more. So I have Josh Allen at quarterback and Travis Kelce tight end. So I stuck with that plan. I have Kenyon Drake, James Robinson, and for now I have Ahmed at flex. So we'll see how things go there with the running back position for Miami. Obviously, if he's out or Gaskin's in, we're going to have to switch that up a little bit. So keep an eye on that. And then wide receiver, Devontae Parker, love that matchup against the Jets. Julio Jones, again, another guy that's beat up right now. We're not sure if he's going to play. If he goes, he's too cheap at 6,500. And KJ Hamler, who we talked about earlier, for now at defense, I have the Bills.
All right, like that. I am going to go on the other side of that game to start my quarterback situation here. I got Justin Herbert as my quarterback, $7,200. I'm coming back with both Wayne Gallman and James Robinson as my two running backs. Wayne Gallman, I know we talked about him a little bit earlier. His floor is just too high with how he's played over the last couple of weeks. He's just not a sexy name that people want to put in their lineup, but I really like him at 5K. I have got Keenan Allen and Stephon Diggs back-to-back as my two wide receivers, with Jakeem Grant as my punt wide receiver, Hunter Henry as my tight end, Kenyon Drake in my flex with the Jaguars defense. But I would like to say this, depending on what I find out about Adam Thielen, whether or not he is going to play, I could very easily, and I've already looked at this to know it'll work, I could very easily pull out Hunter Henry, be fine with throwing Austin Hooper into my tight end position, and find a way to put Justin Jefferson into the flex. I would have enough money because I would love to have Justin Jefferson in my lineup if there is no Adam Thielen this week. Mm-hmm. But that's only if I don't see Adam Thielen in the starting lineup.
Yeah, and by the way, it seems like you actually set a tournament lineup here. So this is interesting. If the you have the stack in play, right? You have Herbert, Allen, and Henry, and then you have Diggs coming back. So if that game disappoints, you're going to get crushed. But if it's a high scoring game, this will look pretty good. So bold move for a head to head, but we'll see how it goes.
Mike, I'm down 7-4 so far this year. These are all plays that we like. All right, I got to make a big play here.
Got to make something happen.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Like an onside kick to start the second half.
I love it. That's what I want. Al, give me your weekly tournament lineup.
All right. I'm going to go with Josh Allen to Steph Diggs as my primary stack here. I'm going to bring it back with Austin Eckler, who I believe is going to play this week at running back. Secondary stack. Actually, I've got another correlation. So I've got Wayne Gallman and the Giants defense. Secondary stack, I'm going value with both of them. Jakeem Grant and Denzel Mims from Miami and the Jets. So the lineup is Josh Allen, Eckler, Robinson, Diggs, Mims, Jakeem Grant, Travis Kelce as a one-off at tight end, Gallman, the Giants defense. So three correlations in play here. Makes it a lot easier to build a lineup.
I actually love that lineup. Why didn't I set a lineup like that? Austin Eckler at $6,100 and James Robinson at $6,300. You should not be able to have both those guys in your lineup for that
totally
much money.
They let me do it too. It's great.
It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. Mike Clay, I'm going to throw this to you. Normally we do a showdown captain lineup because we record this on Thursdays. Obviously with the Ravens Steelers game being moved to Sunday, do you have a showdown captain lineup that you like for Thursday, or are we just not going to do one this week?
Not right now. We're not gonna do one. So thanks for putting me on the spot, and then me not have an answer for anything.
We're at home. You're in your pajamas. I literally saw your pajamas. We're all very relaxed. It's just we're doing it from home today. So
Yeah. So we're not doing the captain just because you have a lot more options. So you can do Showdown Captain to DraftKings. You can do the two game slate as well. I believe they're doing the Millie Maker as well. You can do head to heads, all that fun stuff with those with that two game slate. So
I got a crazy two game slate lineup if you want one.
Bring it. I would love it.
All right, let's go.
We're going to go with on the two game Thanksgiving slate. So Deshaun Watson, DeAndre Swift, Ezekiel Elliott, Marvin Hall, Will Fuller, Brandon Cooks, TJ Hawkinson, Marvin Jones, and then the Dallas defense because you need to have somebody from both games.
Wow.
That's a lot of Lions.
I love
it. It's a lot of everything. It's a two-game slate, so you end up with really funky-looking lineups. It's just the way that the two-game slate life goes.
That's amazing. I'm ready. I'm ready for it. Let's find out what Thanksgiving looks like. Guys, thank you again so much for sticking with us. Again, this is just a one-week thing, us being at home. Things didn't work out on campus, but we are very glad that you were here with us. We hope that you have an awesome weekend, that you spend a bunch of time with your family, that you reflect back on what is important and thankful to you. This year has been a crazy year, but you're here. Hopefully you're healthy. There's a lot to be thankful for in 2020 outside of what it looks like on the outside. So for Al and for Mike, my name is Daniel. We love you guys. We can't wait to see you in week 13. Have a great week 12. And don't forget to love each other.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.